so I know it's you. Just take a minute and do that. Well, Father, we are here today to worship you together again. Thank you for that. And now, Lord, open our hearts and our minds. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, let me say it. Good morning. Man, it is so nice to hear that, because for so long, I would say good morning, and I had to sort of imagine you guys from Facebook land saying, good morning, good morning, good morning. And some of you saying, okay, yeah, I've already heard that. Go on to the next thing, right? So it's great to see you. So glad that you're here. We weren't sure. Ryan and I talked a little bit. We just weren't real sure what to expect. First day back, I can tell you we're thrilled so far. Thank you for being here. We believe next week will be better. I want to remind you, in case I forget at the end, we will be back to two services next week. It'll be 9:20 in this service, 10:30. Of course, this is the service that's on Facebook Live. Hi, Facebook Live folks. Good to see you. You're welcome to come back when you're ready. We're not pushing you. There's no shame or guilt, but just know we're here, and we would love to see you when you're ready to come out and be with us. So please, please make that change and come out. Don't isolate. There is no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. God did not save that. God did not ordain that. That is not real. We're going to be talking about that in the days ahead. God made us for fellowship. He made us for community. And we do better together than we do alone. We just do. We do better in community. Community is better than when we try to walk this thing out alone. And we'll be talking about that some in the days ahead. But I want to thank you guys, and those of you who are watching on Facebook, for being faithful to watch on Facebook, to go to our YouTube channels, to listen into the Corona Chronicles, enter the No Fear Zone every single day. We have done that every single day. Thank you guys so much for doing that. That's been a joy. It's great knowing that you guys are out there. And so thank you. Thank you for doing that. And it's an honor to be able to walk with you through this time. If you're involved with Sunday school classes, I'll be contacting, I think, Keith, Min. I think your Sunday school class will start next Sunday. I'm not sure about Paul, and I have not talked to the ladies yet, so I'll be getting with them, and there'll be emails going out. We'll be posting stuff on Facebook to let you know what's going on then as far as Sunday school. Now, let me say this. There'll be no kids ministries. We don't know when that will kick back up. I imagine July, if not August, you know, July, maybe. I don't know for sure, but we're looking at that, and that will happen as soon as we feel like we can do it and do it well. So, because we want your kids, we love them, we value them, and we want them to benefit too. We don't want to just throw something together. So when we can do it well, we'll be back engaged, and so we'll be doing that. Okay? Again, good to see you guys. Glad you're here. Well, 3 weeks ago, we started a sermon series on the end times, sort of end times 101, apocalypse 101. If you want to be cool, it could be REM, right? It's the end of the world as we know it, 101. So if you wanted to be cool, you could do that. And so that's what we've sort of been talking about. And it starts in the eschatology that we have here. Eschatology is a big word, means end time studies. The eschatology we have here, we are premillennial and pre-tribulation. Let me explain to you what that means. We believe that Christ is going to come back for 1,000 years and reign on this earth. He is going to come back with us, impose his will, impose his laws, impose his justice, impose his kindness, impose his love for 1,000 years on this earth. We believe that is literally going to happen at some point. The Lord is going to be King, Lord God, King of this earth, and everyone will know it, and everyone will surrender to it. We believe that day is coming. We believe prior to that, however, that there's going to be a time called the tribulation. Now, the word tribulation appears in the Bible a couple different ways. One, it means trouble. You have tribulation, right? We have tribulation in our life. You know, the car wouldn't start. That's tribulation in our life, right? And so, but then there's also the great tribulation. There's the time of great suffering, great shaking, and great judgment. And that's what really is talked about in the book of Daniel, and in Daniel 7, and then Revelations 13 through 20 really deals with the understanding of the tribulation. Now, we are pre-tribulation here. We talked about this our very first Sunday. What does that mean? We believe that there's going to come a point where we will be living our lives and going through our lives. And the Bible says, in a twinkling of an eye, in a moment, you're not going to get a Facebook post. You're not going to get a tweet. You're not going to get some social media broadcast. It's not going to come on the radio or the TV. Oh, in 3 days, Christ will be coming again, so have all your things in order. That's not going to be happening. In the twinkling of the eye, in a moment, just like that, the Bible says that the people who know the Lord will be snatched away. Let me give you some verses for that. First Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18 is where we see a word at the end of that in verse 18 called hupomene. It says that the people who remain, the people that are here, will be snatched up. That's how it's translated in English. Well, that's where we get the word rapture. We get the word rapture from that, because when the Bible was translated into Latin, the Latin word for hupomene, snatch, is raptura or rapture. That's where we get the word rapture. It doesn't appear in the Greek translation of the Bible, nor in the English. It comes from the Latin word raptura, and it means to snatch up. It means to snatch. So in 1 Thessalonians, the Bible says we're going to be living, we're going to be moving, and the time's going to come where we're snatched up. In a moment, we're snatched. Other verses that talk about that, John 14, Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you. I'm going to pull you up and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In Luke 17, Jesus is telling a story about people in a field and people walking down the road. And he says this. He says, there's two working in the field, and in a twinkling of an eye, and in a moment, one is taken and another one is left. People are going to be walking down the road together. Two, one will be taken, one will be left. In just a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and in a second, this thing called the rapture, the snatching, will occur. It will occur, and the people left behind are the people that don't know Christ personally. God's true church, the people who really know him, who really love him, who really have a relationship with him, will be snatched up. So everything else we're going to talk about does not pertain to you if you know Christ. So the rest of the sermon, take a nap, right? So it's not going to pertain to you, but I wanted to give you the breakdown of what's going to happen during those 7 years. Because what's going to happen in those 7 years, a lot of those seeds are being planted today. A lot of the things that need to happen then have to have preparation time today. You just don't get to where we're going without some things shifting along the way. So, that's where we are. Now, the Bible talks about seven seals, talks about seven trumpets and seven bowls. And that's how we can follow the timeline of the end times, is by following those things. So the seven seals are the bigger picture. These seals are broken, symbolic, and they happen over a 7 year period of time, which we're going to talk about. Toward the end of that 7 year period, then we have the trumpets. That's a shorter period of time. All of the stuff we're going to talk about there happens within about a 6 month period of time, maybe seven. And then you have seven bowls, which happens, we don't know exactly, within days and weeks. So as you will notice as we go through this very quickly this morning, the time as we move from one set of judgments to another, the time frame shortens and the intensity increases as that happens. So the first thing that will happen after the rapture of the church, after the snatching away of the people of God, if you're left here, if you're left behind, here's what you can expect. The first thing's going to happen is an Antichrist is going to appear on the scene. Now this man is going to be claiming to be a man of peace. He is going to be poised, posh, he's going to be cool, he's going to be chic. He's going to be in whatever cool cliche you want to use of the day, which is probably something going to be made up by then that I won't like even then. So it's probably going to be used at that day, but it will apply to this guy. He will be a problem solver, a world problem solver. He is going to come in and he's going to go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, as you know, has been at war with the Middle East. That place has been a powder keg since it's been a Middle East. And so this guy is going to go to the Middle East and he's going to strike a peace deal. Many people believe it will be in the temple. Ding, ding, ding. In order to go into a temple, there has to be a temple. There you go. There has to be a temple, right? So that means a lot of stuff has to happen for the temple to be built. We're going to talk about that in just a minute when we get to the midway point. So he's going to go in and strike a peace deal. Now, in that temple, two things will happen. He will strike a peace deal between Israel and all the people around. And second, he will allow the Jewish nation, to offer sacrifices in the temple. Key thing, offer sacrifices in the temple. The Jews have not been able to offer sacrifices in the temple since 70 AD, since the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans in 70 AD. So he's going to come back in, it's going to be built, and they're going to be able to offer sacrifices. Now, in order to offer sacrifices, follow me for a minute, a couple of things have to happen. One, you have to have all the utensils and tools needed for sacrificial worship. That's everything from knife to bowls to catch the blood to how to dispose of the animals. I mean, there's a ton of stuff that has to happen. In the temple, you have to have thrones. You have to have tapestries. You have to have certain breastplates that the priests wear with certain jewels on it. All of this stuff has to be done according to Levitical law. Got great news for you today. There's a place called the Temple Institute in Jerusalem. Every device needed, everything needed for temple worship has been researched, rediscovered, and reproduced. Amen. It exists today in Jerusalem. The only thing probably remaining will be the ashes of a pure red heifer. The red heifer was a specific kind of cow. It would probably win at the Putnam County Fair. Can I get an amen? Right? If somebody brought the red heifer, it would probably win at the fair. Okay, so the red heifer has got to be taken. It's got to be slaughtered according to Levitical law. But in order for that to happen, it's got to be pure and perfect. Here's what that means. No white hair, no black hair, no gray hair, only red. That means the rabbinical leaders, the priest, would take literally magnifying glasses, go over the heifer to make sure it is perfectly red. Second, there could be no skin abnormalities, no skin tags, no moles, no warts, no nothing. It has to be perfect in every single way, without a doubt. So they will research it, they'll look at it, and it'll be pure. Then they will slaughter it according to Levitical law. They'll burn it according to Levitical law. They'll take its ashes, mix it into a solution, and with that, they will anoint all the utensils for sacrificial worship and temple worship in the temple. Okay, everything is done except that animal. They're breeding them now in Jerusalem. They're being bred now. They are looking for the perfect red heifer. Every time there's a birth cycle, they get all the calves, and they look for that perfect red heifer. That is happening now. So when the first trumpet blows, what will happen, or the first seal breaks, I should say, when the first seal breaks, we'll see the Antichrist. He'll go in, he'll establish this temple worship, he'll establish sacrificial worship, he'll cut a peace deal, and that will be going on. Second thing that will happen, the seal that will break, is there will be war that will break out by the Antichrist. The Antichrist by this point is going to be known as the man of peace. He'll be known as a trusted person, but he will immediately begin to wage war in other areas of the world. War will happen, and war will be horrible. This isn't Armageddon. This isn't the last battle. That's coming, but it's leading up to it. Wars will happen all over the place, led, fostered, and fueled by the Antichrist. Now, that might be very public, and he might be known by doing that, because remember, at this point, he's thought to be a man of peace, right? That's what he's thought about, being a man of peace, no doubt. But behind the scenes, he could be orchestrating it. Now, the third seal that's broken will be a result of the war, and that'll be famine. If you've studied warfare or been in the military, all you guys know I was a military officer, and you study this stuff. And so one of the things that typically follows wars, bad wars, you have three things: death, famine, and disease. Those things typically follow war. Wherever there's massive warfare, that's what you leave. That's what it typically leaves in the wake of warfare. You have death, famine, and disease. So that's going to happen. And so when this seal is broken, famine due to war is going to happen. Now we come to the fourth seal. This is interesting. This is about the midway point through the 7 years, roughly. 3.5 years in the midway point. And some things begin to happen. We've already seen the Antichrist cut a peace deal, right? We've already seen all the temple stuff take place and worship going on and sacrifices happening. But at this point, in Revelation 13, 16 through 18, the Bible says this. Now also, the beast, the false prophet and the Antichrist, cause all, both small and great, both rich and poor, free and slave, to be marked on their right hand or their forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark that is the name of the beast or the number of the beast. He goes on and says this. Now this calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. It's the number of a man, and his number is 666. The mark of the beast is implemented halfway through the tribulation. And the Bible says that during that time, when this is implemented, you won't be able to buy, sell, trade, or do anything. You will be blocked out of the world as it's known at that point because you do not have the mark of the beast. Now, some of you are sitting there going, that can't happen. Let me walk you through a plausible scenario based upon recent events that could occur. Now, I am not speaking prophetically. I do not claim to be a prophet. I am not son of a prophet. But I'm just presenting to you an idea that if Terry Wright can reason this out, there's a gazillion people way smarter than me. They've got it down to a science, I can tell you. So let me just walk you through what might occur. Imagine this. Imagine that a pandemic breaks out, that a disease breaks out. that a pandemic breaks out, and during that time, people become scared and fearful. This isn't COVID-19. This is COVID-27. This is the real deal. This is the deal where if you get it, there's a 90% death rate. This is the real thing. This is where it doesn't discriminate to just the old or the infirmed or the immune compromised. This is a thing that affects everybody from the womb to the tomb. If you catch COVID-27, you're dead. You're checking out. You're done. A guy shows up. A guy shows up who's handsome, articulate, and good looking. A guy shows up who has the power to communicate and compassion and kindness. He's not bought off by Big Pharma, so it's not a conspiracy for him to get rich, right? He's not bought off by Big Pharma. He's an altruistic guy, and he comes forward in the middle of COVID-27 and says, I've got the cure. I got the cure. By this point, from what we've seen with COVID-19, even the people of God are scared and hiding in their places. They won't go out. They're fearful. They're frightened. I mean, it's gripped the world. The world has shut down. But this guy shows up and says, you know, I got the cure. Now, this happens at the beginning of the tribulation, maybe even before the tribulation starts. This guy shows up with the answer. And so this is the guy we come to know and trust, right? And so this is the guy who says, I'm not going to sell you the cure. I'm going to give you the cure. I'm going to give you the cure. And everybody's, well, he's got to be a Christian. Everybody says he's got to be a Christian. Look at what he's doing. He's given us the cure. And so here's what happens. You get the cure, and then you get a chip in your hand. Now, that chip isn't the mark of the beast, but it's a way to track you. And it's a way to know that you have been given that. And so when you have to go in and get further updates or inoculations or booster shots, we can just code it in there and you know that you have it. Okay, that's all it is. That's all the chip is, right? It's nothing, right? So you get the chip. You get the vaccination. And so all of these things, these seals begin to break. And then we come to the midpoint. And this guy who has led us through all of this horrible disease that we trust, that we love because he took care of us. He fixed us. He healed us. This guy whom we would love to know because he gave us the vaccine. Because everyone knows this life is more important than the next. Everyone knows to hold on to this because when we die, we drop in a box and it's just black and wormsy-ness eventually, I suppose, right? If you stay there long enough, right? That's all there is to life. So we trust this guy. And so he comes onto the scene. During this first 3.5 years, there's a confederation of 10 states, Daniel teaches. And it might not be states as we know it. It might be appointed leaders over regions. It might be leaders of particular countries. We're not sure. So, but these 10 leaders surface and they say, we want you, Mr. Fix-It Vaccine Guy, to be the leader because you're altruistic and loving and kind. You're not bought off by Big Pharma and you're a fixer. You can fix things, so we want you to do it. You see how it slips in? Month and a half ago, if somebody showed up and had that vaccine, 90% of the church would have run to it and taken it. Would have not asked a question. And if a guy popped up saying, I created it and I'm giving it to you, you would have loved him. You would have thought he was the king. Jesus is good, but this guy's better. That's where many of us would have gone, in our minds, in our hearts. So here's what happens. We're now at the 3.5 year point. The fourth seal is about to break. It's the fourth seal is being broken. And the beast, this guy who's been loving and peaceful, cut the peace deal in Jerusalem, this guy who gave us the vaccine, this guy who's at all this point, goes into the temple, sits on the throne, declares himself God, and says, no more temple sacrifices, because you don't need to sacrifice that God. You need to worship me, because I'm God. And the Bible says he commits something called the abomination of desolation. And people have talked about what that might be or could be. I think it could be as simple as him being a heretic and declaring himself God and Jesus not. So I think it could be that simple. And so he goes in there and he says, this is who I am. When this fourth seal is broken, this is what's going on. During that time, 144,000 Jewish folk are saved during these first 3.5 years. And God commissions them to be evangelists. Y'all need to smile because that's at least cool, right? I mean, you know, I mean, that's at least sort of cool. So 144,000 of these guys become evangelists, and they launch a global evangelism movement. And they go out telling people about, in their words, not mine, in their words, Yeshua, right? Jesus. I'm not Jewish. I don't speak Jewish, or Hebrew. So they're going out to tell people about Yeshua, right? They're going out to tell people about Jesus. 144,000 of them. A massive move. God even raises up this time two sort of supernatural cats. They're called witnesses. And in Revelation 11, verses 2 and 3, the Bible says he raises up these guys. He empowers them with the power of heaven and says, now proclaim the gospel. So even in the middle of the tribulation, listen, God's not trying to pay people back. He's trying to get people back. Amen. People wouldn't respond to the love of the Lord, so now maybe they'll respond to the tribulation that shakes their soul. Amen. God is always about getting you back. Amen. He loves you that much. He wants to get you back, not pay you back. And so even during this time where the world is in cataclysmic turmoil, God is working to get you back. So we're at the halfway point. Now things change and they speed up. And they speed up rapidly after the first 3.5 years. So then what happens? The Antichrist goes in. He declares himself God. This guy who we loved and trusted, who did so much for us, now turns and we know his true face. He is now clearly exposed and unmasked. He is the Antichrist. He is the son of the devil. He is anti everything Jesus is for, and he's about the destruction of the world. This is what he's about. Things begin to happen. The fifth seal is broken, and we see what's going on in heaven. It's at this time that the martyrs begin to cry out, saying, oh Lord, how long? Because here's what's happening on earth. If you're coming to faith in Christ during this time, you will be martyred for your faith. More than likely, you will have to die to seal your faith by your death. See, Jesus did for you initially on the cross. He took the wrath of God upon himself. He took our place on the cross. But since you rejected that at that time, you now have to receive the wrath of God upon yourself. That was never God's will for you, but it was what some people choose. So, the sixth seal is now broken. Natural disasters, upheavals happen, earthquakes. The sun turning dark, the moon turning red, mountains and islands disappearing because of volcanic eruptions. Things are happening in the sixth seal. Now the seventh seal breaks. Now remember, this happens over about a 6-year period of time, right? It doesn't happen immediately. It sort of plays out over about 6 years. So at the end of the sixth seal, about the sixth year, the seventh seal is broken and the seal judgments pause. They're pause. And what kicks in now are the trumpet judgments. Now let me define for you quickly the trumpet judgments. These judgments are seven judgments, and they happen in a shorter period of time, and they're more intense. These will happen over about 5 months or so. Don't know exactly sure. 4 to 5 months is about how long it takes for this list of things to happen. Here's the list. Hail, fire, and blood will rain down from heaven and kill a third of the plant life. We don't know what that is. Could be a comet, could be an asteroid, could be something exploding in the sky. There could be a natural explanation for it. Remember, people will look for natural explanations for all of this, and more than likely, they will find something that satisfies them. That'll happen first. Second, burning mountains will fall into the sea. A third of all sea life will die. A lot of people think that's going to be volcanoes. You do know that we have hundreds and even thousands of volcanoes that have been dormant for tens of thousands of years. And every volcanologist says that some of the biggest ones are long overdue for eruption. So a lot of the islands that we know, which are basically volcanoes that people have built their homes around, could explode, could erupt so much and with so much anger and so much violence and so much trouble that they collapse into the sea. Volcanic eruptions. Third, there's a star called Wormwood that will hit the earth, posing a third of the fresh water supply. NASA's tracking, well, not NASA, but, well, I guess NASA's doing it too. They're tracking all this stuff in the sky, and they're saying there's a star coming called Wormwood, could hit the earth. Don't know. They say it's about 27 years off. But that's something being tracked. Fourth, a third of the moon and the stars and the sun will be darkened. A third of nighttime illumination will be darkened for some reason. Some people say that's because of something that hits the earth and puts a bunch of dust in the air, or volcanic eruptions that cloud the sky and the atmosphere. Don't know. But for some reason, a third of the illumination at night will be lessened. Fifth, the fifth trumpet that sounds, and remember, this is all coming in rapid succession within about a five-month period of time. In rapid succession, locusts, unlike anything we've ever seen. Matter of fact, the Bible says that they'll have fangs like lions. Of course, not that big, but in other words, they'll be sharp. They'll have teeth that are very sharp, and they'll have hair. Now, some of you are saying, well, there's no locust like that. I've seen locusts, and that doesn't work. Well, let's just pretend for a minute that there's a lab that does genetic engineering. And let's just pretend for a minute this lab that does genetic engineering, oh, let's say maybe it's in China. I'm just throwing that out there as a possibility, right? Let's just say perhaps it's in China, maybe even in the Wuhan province. I'm just saying maybe it could be a lab in Wuhan and China that does genetic experiments. I'm hypothetically, right? So let's say that's going on, and let's say that something happens and they let out these locusts, either intentionally or unintentionally, and they let these locusts out, and they've been genetically modified. And they've been genetically modified not to eat plants, but to eat skin, to eat animals, mammals, people. And let's say that they let them out, and they begin to spread all over the earth. For 5 months, the Bible says, that's why we know that this is about 5 months out in the tribulation time. For 5 months, these locusts will be able to bite and sting people. But people won't die of this. But the Bible says they will wish they were dead. The sixth trumpet will sound, and the fallen angels will be released. A third of humanity will die. There is a group of fallen angels. These are called demons. People don't like to talk about it. They don't like to think about it because it's uncomfortable and it's rude in polite conversation to talk about the devil. Oh, by the way, the devil's going to get your kid. That doesn't go over well at a party, right? So you probably need to factor that out. But it's not popular to talk about demons. But you do know angels fell from heaven. And the angels that fell from heaven are called demons. And they have been restricted at some level to their influence on the planet because of God's restraining power of the Holy Spirit and His grace to us, His children. But the day is going to come when that is lifted. And these demons will be loosed and they will have reign, freedom to affect humanity. You're saying there's no precedent for that in Scripture. I would present to you Brother Job, whose name is spelled like Job, but it's Job. Right? Yeah. He was sifted by the devil. The devil touched him. God allowed it. Uncomfortable, isn't it? But in this time, into the seventh year of the Great Tribulation, over the halfway point, after the sealed judgments have happened, during the trumpet judgments, when we get to this point, they'll be released. And the Bible says a third of humanity will be affected. That's the sixth trumpet sounding. At the seventh sound of the trumpet, there's a pause again, and now the seven bowl judgments will happen. Remember I told you there's only three groupings. You don't have to remember 10, right? Right, we started with seals, we did the trumpets, now we're doing the bowls. Real simple. Timeline, we're now into that sixth year, about 5, 6, 7 months into that sixth year, approaching that seventh year. Okay, and we're about probably a month out, because what happens with the bowl judgments do not happen. These events don't occur over months. They occur over days and weeks. So things are getting shorter. Things are getting more intense. Things are getting faster. Here's what happens during the bowl judgments. The first bowl is poured out in boils and sores. Dermatological issues that are debilitating and painful will mark those who have the mark of the beast. If you've received the mark, the 666, let me talk to you about that. That isn't the chip in your hand. That will be an actual number on your forehead, on your hand or on your forehead. That aligns you with a worshiping system. And that worshiping system is of the false prophet and of the Antichrist. The chip will be a way to track you. The chip will be a way to deny you any access to economics, right, to buying, selling, trading, because there will be no currency at that point. You'll probably use that chip for currency. That's coming. That in and of itself isn't the devil. But what comes next is, and that is when you have to take that mark, back at that 3.5 year point, when you take that mark, and you're marked with 666, which is a sign of the beast. You can't buy or sell or trade if you don't have it. So, as these bowls are poured out, judgments, that's all it is, you can just say this is another set of judgments. You don't have to remember bowls and trumpets and seals and all that. So, As this judgment is poured out, it will affect those with the mark of the beast. Those who have surrendered their hearts to worship a false system will be judged. You're saying, I would never do that. He's got the vaccine for COVID now, COVID-97 probably, right? He's got the vaccine. He's got access to the food. He's got access to clean water. He's got access to health care. Oh, I need this, I need that. He has access, and the only way you get access to it is to surrender your life to them. Now, let's push the pause button for a minute. Some of you are saying, there's no way the world can be that much in control. You do know, because you're smart people. You do know there are people that aren't necessarily religious of any type that want a global government. They want countries to dissolve. You do that through a couple of ways. Easily. It's easily done. You tear down their borders so there's no definition for the country. Second, you destroy their constitution and their laws so there is no legal system that can be backed up by law and by police. And then third, you allow mob rule. When you do that, you've effectively destroyed a country. There are people that want countries to fall. They want a global government. They believe you and I are not smart enough to manage our lives. They want a global government. Socialism is real. And socialism and communism, I know the technical differences. I can pass the test. I'm just telling you they're the same. And it's about a centralized control of your life and mine. It's owning your property, owning your stuff, telling you how to raise your kids, telling you what you can and can't do. That's exactly what people want in the world today. I never thought it would happen. But watching this COVID-19 thing and everybody surrendering themselves to the advice of the government has been absolutely stunning. Amen. Stunning. Now, I social distance. I wash my hands. I practice good science. And always will. Had someone come along and offered you a vaccine 6 weeks ago and a chip, don't answer me, but look at me. How many of you would have taken it? How many of you would have taken it? They offered you a vaccine and a chip. Now let me go a step further. How about if they offered you a vaccine and a chip and then said this, you can have Jesus, but Bob, the cool guy who invented the vaccine, you got to also love Bob. What does it mean to love Bob? Oh, just, you know, watch him an hour a week. That's all. Just love him. Just watch him an hour a week. And some of you are saying, oh, I'd have never done that. I'm telling you, 40 days ago, I am afraid 70% of the church would have done it. Maybe not our church. I mean the universal church. So, darkness comes. Back to the bowls. The next one is the fourth bowl is poured out. The sun will scorch men, and they won't be able to be out in the sun. The sun will be too hot, too intense. They won't be able to be out there. It'll be dangerous. How does that happen? That can happen through solar flares. It can happen through holes in the ozone. It probably happened a lot of natural ways, but that's what will be going on. The fifth bowl will be poured out, and that'll be darkness. Scripture says, and it's unbelievable, Scripture says that in this darkness, people will run mad. One of the oldest ways to torture people and get them to break if you capture someone in war. You do learn some cool things when you're in the army, right? You know, if you capture somebody and need them to break, you know, how do you do it? You isolate them and you put them in utter darkness and you keep them there. And in time, the isolation and the darkness will break their mind. You're saying, I don't believe it. I volunteer to do an experiment on you. If you think you're tough enough to handle it, you won't last 3 days. You won't. The last 3 days, you'll go crazy. The Bible says that the darkness will come and it will be so huge and so bad and so engulfing and so complete that man could run mad. The sixth bowl will be poured out. The Euphrates River will dry up. During this time, the Antichrist will be gathering and the false prophet will be gathering his armies. The people who stand against the Antichrist probably the Jewish nation and a few others will stand against them. They're gathering their armies. It's during this time that Revelation 16:11 reveals the heart of God. John the Revelator, looking up, seeing all this stuff play out in an image. Listen, John the guy who wrote Revelation, looked up and see, and he writes this at the last part of verse 11 in chapter 16. He says, and they still would not repent. You get the heart of God in all of this. As all of this is being poured out on humanity, the heart of God is that people come back to Him. He never loses that, but it says they still won't repent. They still won't come back. So then, after Euphrates River dries up, the armies of the Antichrist and the false prophets are gathered. They war against the remaining people of God, the people who stand against Him. This is known as the Battle of Armageddon. This takes place in the Valley of Megiddo, and it will be a bloodbath. I won't get into Gog, Magog, whose nation's what, and who fights who, and all that kind of stuff. Don't have time for that. Simply to say that there's two sides, God's and the devil's. That's it. There is no Sweden or Switzerland in this one, right? There is no, well, we'll be neutral, and you can just send us your money, and we'll be the bankers, right? Those guys don't exist anymore, because there's a global economic system. You're with the Lord, or you're against the Lord. That's how it's going to play out. Amen. The Bible said if the Lord would not show up, that all of life would be destroyed. But the seventh bowl is poured out. And the seventh bowl that's poured out are rapid, massive earthquakes. So much so people can't stand. It says cities will be leveled. It said it is so strong in this area that Jerusalem is actually split into three pieces during this time. After this, Christ will return. Christ will return with His church, who was raptured up 7 years prior. The Bible says at that point He will begin a reign, a millennial reign, where His will, His ways, His principles, His truth, His desires will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Amen. The Lord will show up. And those of us who know Him, who have been caught up with Him, will return with Him. And we will reign with Him for 1,000 years. And in that time, He will show everyone what the world should have been all along. Amen. Now here's the truth. You don't have to see any of that. None of that's for you. But here's what's a fact. You must know Christ today. Amen. What does that mean? That means you have to come to the place in your life where you believe, you know, you have been transformed from the inside out by this reality. Jesus Christ died for you. He died on the cross in your place. He lay dead in the grave for 3 days. And on the third day, He bodily, physically resurrected. He appeared to over 500 people. They couldn't find His body because the tomb was empty. You must believe that Christ resurrected from the grave. Amen. If these truths are real to you, not intellectually, but if they've changed you from the inside out, then you know the Lord. You have the Holy Spirit who's come to live within you. But if you're here today and you don't know, in just a minute we're going to pray and be done. I'm going to give you a chance to make that turn. Now I know what some of you are saying, Pastor, that's scary. I don't like scary. You scared? Good. You should be. The Great Tribulation isn't a Disney short film. It's meant to shake everything that can be shaken and to crush everything that can be crushed. So those who would can come into the kingdom. Amen. If you won't respond to God's love, maybe you'll respond to His judgment. But today, you get to respond to Jesus, your graceful, loving God and King. I love Christmas. Any of y'all love Christmas? Amen. I love Christmas. I love thinking about baby Jesus in the manger. I love the Christmas songs. All of you know that. Because we sing Christmas songs every year. And oh, by the way, guess what? Coming again this year. Christmas songs. Coming. Why do I love that Jesus? Because it was that Jesus who would grow up, live a perfect life, and die. He would take my place on the cross, meaning He received the wrath of God that has to be poured out on sin. He received that unto Himself. And when He had died, He resurrected on the third day. And he gives to me and you eternal life if we believe and surrender. That's what you get the chance to do today. All this other stuff, that's not for you. It doesn't have to be for you. Matter of fact, we didn't get to this, but Scripture says, hey, encourage one another with these words. It should be encouraging to you that the Lord's going to snatch us one day. You ought to smile at that. Amen. You ought to be changed because he's going to hupomene, snatch us out. Raptura, the rapture, will pull us out of here in a twinkling of an eye. Two will be in a field, Jesus said in Luke. One will be taken. The other will be left. Amen. Doesn't have to be you. God doesn't want it to be you. Let's pray together. Well, Father, I thank you for your truth and for your word. Lord, I thank you that you give us a clear picture of what's coming, what's going to happen. And Father, it's not for us. So Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today that doesn't know you, today will be the day of their salvation. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're here and you're not sure you know the Lord, and God's awakening faith in you to believe that he's calling you right now from darkness to light, he is moving your spirit into a new place and you sense it, I'm going to ask you to please, please do this. Please just pray right there. Pray, Lord, it's me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for letting me pray. Father, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe he resurrected on the third day. And right now I place my trust in him alone for salvation. Jesus, change my life from the inside out. I surrender myself to you. Jesus, I pray that you now fill me with the Holy Spirit from the top to the bottom so I can walk with you in freedom. If you prayed that prayer or something like that prayer for the first time, on a count of three, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand just so I can pray for you more specifically. One, two, three. Slip up your hand, anybody. Anybody, okay? Thank you. Okay, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that after you come to know Christ, you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. So if you say, well, I was baptized as an infant, and that's a good thing. And that didn't hurt you. That just simply isn't the biblical model. The biblical model is that you are baptized after your salvation. So, asking you please to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. We have baptism next service. So we are baptizing first Sunday out of the coronavirus. We will be glad to baptize you next week if you need to take that step. Well, Father, we love you. Thank you for today. Lord, thank you for this time in your word. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. A couple things before you go. We are receiving our offering in the boxes in the back and up here. The metal boxes, we're not passing the plate right now. So if you came prepared to give, please do that. Next week, we should have a bulletin so you can begin to give us your prayer request. I've been praying for you guys. I pray through our list. If we've got your name, you have been prayed for. I have prayed for you. If we don't have your name, probably haven't prayed for you. So please, when we get that, please give us your name, address, and phone number so we can pray for you. All right, because we want to do that. And give us your prayer request because we want to pray for you, to be sure. You are loved by your Heavenly Father. Amen. More than you've ever imagined. Walk in freedom this week. Walk controlled by the Spirit. Man, spend some time in God's Word and watch what He does in your life. I promise you it'll be amazing. Amen? Amen. You are dismissed.